going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clevins. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Ike Bonney. Welcome to week six, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. How about you?
Fantastic.
Solid, I beat you too at this time, Plant.
I'm glad you did. It was a first for everything, guys.
You got to be quicker than that, man. And we are now entering the time of year where fantasy managers hate, guys, and it's the first week of bye weeks. We are missing four teams this week. The Titans, the Raiders, Texans, and Lions are all on bye this week. You like not have a Derrick Henry in your home league lineup, Michael Plant, or what?
Absolutely, because I drafted like a goddamn stud, and I got backups behind him.
That's what I'm talking
Actually,
about.
I'm a little scared, but you know what? It is. I did draft
him.
So.
How about you, Ike, missing Davante Adams?
Not a fan.
You're not a fan of the game.
I don't want to talk about numbers. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about how he can get suspended.
I was just gonna say, maybe even with the suspension looming, man.
My season's done.
My season's done.
Not a good idea. I can't imagine it's gonna be anything too crazy of a suspension, right?
That kid flopped.
Maybe a game or two. I mean,
he flopped.
I mean, he did walk Check right tape. In front of him. But, I mean,
the fact that he had to go to the hospital for a push like that is just,
it's insurance policy, I think.
Oh, he wanted the money, bro. Obviously.
But I mean,
I would do the same.
First time offender, if anything. So it's a game. Maybe two.
What happens when you go to Vegas, man?
Maybe even a fine. Maybe just a fine.
Shit changes.
Cause he could appeal it. But yeah, we can,
I was going to ask you, what did you guys think of that Thursday night game last night? That whole,
right.
Well,
probably the best Thursday night game.
How dare you? They scored two touchdowns.
I was gonna say it was better than that game. I've seen everyone having like the memes. Oh, we thought last week's game was terrible. Hold my beer. Wait till this one. This game was much better than the Broncos Colts game. I thought personally, right? It was more entertaining.
At least two more trips into the end zone.
At least the Bears moved the ball down the field, but for some reason, Justin Fields is just completely incompetent in the first half of games. Like throwing a missile line drive red zone pass off the defensive lineman's helmet.
Why not?
And then his offensive line's doing him no favors, man. But then
offensive coordinator doesn't know how to use him.
And then the second half, guys, he comes out guns a blazing, and he's just like you said in our group chat, he's just an absolute warrior, just completely getting the shit beat out of him that entire second half, and he's still putting balls where they need to be. Yeah. And then what frustrated
he did overthrow Ryan Griffin for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was
Ryan Leadfoot Griffin, by the way.
That was in the first half, like I would say, when he was horrible, man. And he was atrocious the first half. But that second half, he did everything he could in his power for the Bears to win that game. And he put balls in places. And with them having zero goddamn weapons, like I've been preaching all offseason and we've all been, Dante Pettis can't make a ball or can't catch a pass in the corner of the end zone. By the way, that was PI all day long. His one.
I mean, he did earlier in the game when they got their touchdown.
Right.
It's just that time he didn't.
And then Darnell Mooney, catch the damn ball, man. Catch the ball. You're the number one guy on the offense. You go up there, you catch the ball, and he said he lost it in the light a little bit.
I don't like that play call either, anyways.
Did you see how high Justin Fields threw that ball to a 5'11 receiver?
It was supposed to be, Mike. It was a fade.
But why are you doing a fade?
It's a back shoulder more than a fade. That's what you want. You want a back shoulder, not the fade. That like it's misconstrued about that fade route. I mean, you really want to back shoulder it more than fade it into the end zone. And
if you got a small guy,
it was just, I mean, he kind of airmailed it and Darnell saved him. But yes, it did touch him in the hands. He should have caught it.
Hands. He's got to catch the damn ball. Same with Pettis.
You can't say it was a perfect throw, though. That's what I'm getting at. So it's not all on Mooney.
He put it there to win the game, man, and Mooney's got to catch the ball. I'm sorry.
Ike brings up a good point. There's play calling as well, because I'm not even a Bear fan, and I'm sitting there watching them play. And Justin Fields, you know, a couple plays before that, you know, I know maybe he's gassed from getting a 39-yard run to get him into the red zone, but why aren't they running the ball with Montgomery?
Dude, he looked like a Lamar Cam Newton type player. Why aren't you doing that more? He's willing to take a hit.
Why aren't they running like more designed runs in the red zone with him where he can actually take advantage of those legs, you know, and actually hurt the defense?
Because Getsy only knows how to how to use Aaron Rodgers.
So it's a mix of the play calling, it's a mix of Darnell Mooney, and it's a mix of Fields right now, in my opinion. Yeah. But this is an unbiased opinion.
Yeah, offensive line.
But just to touch on it from a fantasy perspective, we kind of did like what we saw from the Bears offense last night, right?
And Mooney did have probably one of the best games.
All right, he had like 12, 13 fantasy points. He catches that touchdown, man, he's near 20. And Fields had 18 fantasy points last night, Mike.
I know it's a stupid stat, but he had nearly a 40% target share last night, Mooney.
So, I mean, that's good to see. It's just not good to see what the Bears are doing to Justin Fields right now. And there's times where he looks incompetent. But then there's other times, like you said, Ike, where he makes a play with his legs, and he makes some throws like the touchdown to Dante Pettis last night that you're like, holy shit.
I know that was a great pass.
Better than David Montgomery.
I mean, David Montgomery's coming off an injury, guys. Cut him a
little slack. They're two different running backs. Stop saying that all the time.
Kaleo's way more explosive.
He doesn't catch that. We're gonna get into this. That's fine. I don't want to get into it with you. He doesn't catch passes like Montgomery. He doesn't pass block like Montgomery. He doesn't do the little stuff like Montgomery.
But the reason he looks so much better is because, one, he's playing the Chase Edmonds role back in Arizona. Remember when Connor was the guy? It was Connor. And then Chase Edmonds would come in, it was David Johnson. And Chase Edmonds would come in by passes. Well, Chase Edmonds would come in and he'd average like 6 yards a carry because he's not getting the main workload. Like, that's Khalil Herbert right now because he's not the main focus.
And it should be. Dave Montgomery should only see 5 to 10 carries in all the pass catching while Herbert gets 12 to 15. Fields should be getting 5 to 10, maybe even more. He should be played like Hurts.
And then just to go back, we can't. We got it.
Yeah, we're already set. Yeah.
Well, before we move on, we do have a question here from Gary if you want to bring it up, Don.
Sure. We got Thielen, Juju, Duvernay, pick one. I think it's
Devin. Rashad Bateman's out. Yeah, Rashad Bateman's out here. Double check who the Ravens play. Ravens play the Giants. Juju plays the Bills.
I'm going Juju.
How could he trust him, man?
He's still getting a 22% target share, at least these last 3 games.
I don't care.
Yeah, they can't catch him.
That's better than Duvernay and Thielen.
That's all right, but they soar.
I think it just for this week I go Duvernay.
I think over those as well.
Giants second in pass defense. Well, let's take a check here. I got the stats right here. No, actually they are not second in pass. They are 25th against the pass.
Against quarterbacks or wide receivers. Ah,
man, I had it in reverse. I lied. They're 8th against the pass. That's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Juju.
I still go Duvernay. I like the Juju game against Buffalo. It's going to be high. I think it'll be high scoring, but I also think it's going to be one of those trap games where we all think it's going to be really high scoring, and it turns out to be like a 21-24 game.
Mm-hmm. But what do you say, guys? We jump into our game previews now. But first, smash that like button, guys, if you're listening. Hit subscribe. Head on over to fantasysixpack.net. Check out our plans, our memberships that we got going on. Join the Discord, guys. That's the best part of it. You know, it's just a lot of fun talking fantasy football all day long with people. Michael Plant sending injury updates, you know, getting first dibs on free agents because he's right on his phone right away, so he could just hop in. And
that's the nice thing about being the injury guy. Getting the injury updates.
But yeah, head on over
there. Henderson. We act like he's good or something.
Yeah, he's not. Right. Neither's Cam Akers. But let's jump into our first game, guys. We got the San Francisco 49ers at the Atlanta Falcons. Take it easy. Just like Taysom Hill is back in our fantasy football lives, Tevin Coleman is here again. Is he going to eat into Jeff Wilson's fantasy value while Jeff Wilson is the guy in San Francisco now with Elijah Mitchell?
Rushing the ball, no. But I feel like he's going to take more from Juszczyk, if anything, because Juszczyk was getting the secondary stuff. He was getting some targets in the passing game. So I think that's where Coleman's going to get stuff and Wilson's going to be fine.
Yeah, Wilson kind of he makes his money in the goal line anyways, I kind of feel, and him scoring touchdowns. I don't think Tevin Coleman's going
to score. He's got to be trusted starting anyways. He's been scoring, LaPlante has him like 12-plus points every week or something, like, right?
Yeah, it's just no PPR work, but goddamn, he gets all the rushing work. It's 15 to 20 rushes each game, and if you're lucky, you get a target or two sprinkled in there.
Yeah, he gets usually, a few.
He's got a touchdown in I think it's now two straight games. So yep. I do like it. Jeff Wilson is the lead guy here. It's just Tevin Coleman's the change of pace.
And then, like, I know we're starting Debo. Can we expect a little bit more from Kittle or Ayuk in this matchup? Because they've just kind of been blah. And where you drafted Kittle, he's definitely been not great. What are you thinking here?
He's sporting 11% target share or something like that. So, yeah.
Hot. That's hot.
Yeah, at least Ayuk's in the 20% range, but again, they don't pass very much, so that 20% is more like a 5 to 6 targets a game.
Yeah,
which is flex at best. Kittle is borderline tight end starting, but you should start him this week if it's any week because Atlanta's not very good against the pass or anything. So,
yeah, that's the problem. If you have Kittle on your roster, you're definitely playing him.
I would like to think AJ Terrell would be on Debo, which means Ayuk would be more open, but you never know.
Lord. Yeah. Oh, the Falcons, they allow 40 points to fantasy wide receivers, sixth in the league. Oof. Mm-hmm.
We can expect Debo probably to go off.
And actually, believe it or not, it is a good week, you know, boating for Kittle here because the Falcons allow the fourth most tight end points at 17.4. So, I mean, if there was ever a game for him to break out, it's this week.
Yeah, Kittle was inches away from scoring a touchdown. I want to say it was last week, too, where it got called a touchdown on the field and then it got overturned.
I mean, even Kate Otten last week was able to perform decently against the Falcons. So, yeah. Kittle should be okay.
Sure. Mike, jumping over to you now on the Falcons. Let's talk the backfield. We got a lot of weird stuff going on with Tyler Allgeier there, Caleb Huntley. There's another guy there that I'm not – and then I'm blanking out his name. He scored a touchdown last week.
I am too, and we're going to blank on his name still because he's not relevant because he doesn't get the workload. He just got the one red zone touch. Man, I really don't want to talk about the backfield here. I'd rather talk about Kyle Pitts and Drake London.
Let's talk about that, then. I don't care.
Well, the reason is because the 49ers allow the least amount of total fantasy points to anyone. Wide receivers, quarterback, like total. They allow the least amount of fantasy points. So this is going to be a low-scoring game, considering they've also held all their opponents under 20 points so far. So I'm really only confident in starting London here with the target share. If you need Allgeier for a bye week fill-in, it's fine. Just don't expect very much from him.
Hope for a touchdown.
Exactly. Yep. A touchdown will salvage his day. I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm believing in Pitts one more time this week. But if he gets outscored by Taysom Hill in one more game, I'm done.
Taysom Hill can possibly outscore every tight end again, so that's a little
bullshit. Yeah, but if he does it again. 2 weeks in a row. And
maybe if like Tyler Conklin scores more than him, I'd be like, all right, yeah, you're done.
I expect Pitts to score more points.
Hayden Hurst probably will.
That's depending on T. Higgins.
I agree.
Even if T. Higgins is out there, we saw what we'll talk about later. I saw
it. Yes, we will. Good stopping yourself, man. But let's jump into the next one we got here. The New England Patriots at the Cleveland Browns. Ike, we finally saw it last week. Damian Harris goes down with a hamstring injury. Hope for a speedy recovery from him. But Ramondre Stevenson is here. He got all the workload, and he was absolutely fantastic last game. Do we expect the same this week against this Browns defense?
Yes. Let me look here real quick.
I was going to say, if you
Browns are giving up the most or fourth most points to running backs, including second most touchdowns given up. So
let's see if that's true. That's true.
It's fantasy data. Okay. They're also fifth worst in yards allowed as well. So, I mean, Ramondre is going to get most of the work. They'll probably sprinkle in Pierre Strong a little bit, which is kind of cool. I kind of want to see what he can do.
Mac Jones is questionable, so it may not.
Ramondre is full go, man.
Yes.
And it's worth knowing in the last three games, he's got a 16.4 target share. How much? I feel is kind of stupid. 16.4.
Yeah, that has a little bit.
That's Kamara number.
Yeah, that has to do a little bit with the rookie quarterback, and that's obviously the easiest throw for him to make.
And only last week he had two targets, so that means the past two and 3 weeks ago he was getting like eight targets or some shit.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do this weekend with the full stuff.
He might have just taken away from Damian, even when Damian comes back.
Consensus has him at RB5 this week. So
what?
You aren't the only one. Yeah, on the show last night, I did a joke. The consensus had him at 5.
That's bonkers. Holy where do you have bells. It? Do you know where you have Mike in your head?
I just kept it easy. I was like, I put him at RB10 because I was like, man, I don't know still because it's like.
I had a question for Joe.
I'm like, did
you have a hard time putting Ramondre Stevenson over Jonathan Taylor? Taylor had 6.
That's something that is probably something that. That's could be down because Taylor is coming back from injury.
Yeah.
But yeah, that got me there. I was like, whoa.
Mike, jumping over to you and jumping into the Browns here. Amari Cooper, he's been nice when he hits, but not so much when he doesn't have a good day.
That sounds about right.
It's been terrible. It hasn't just been okay. It's been terrible. Are you still starting him as your wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, and feeling all right with it?
Man,
that's in New England.
It's matchup based in my opinion for this, and I hit it right on the head. It is New England, and with byes hitting us, you got Amon-Ra down, you got Ike's got Devontae Adams down, and he's not the only one. I'm trying to think of some other relevant guys here, but I can't. But the Patriots, they do not stop the pass. They actually kill it in stopping the run, and this is what the Cleveland Browns do best. Yeah, no, and this is what the Cleveland Browns do the best is run the ball. And Bill Belichick doing his thing, he's going to take the run game away. And I did see an update earlier today that if the Patriots do take the run game away, Cooper's targets will easily get 10+. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you mentioned it here, but you did mention in the question about, you know, can we start DPJ this week? You know,
Donovan Peoples Jones. I was going to get to that way to ask your own question. I'll take it.
But, I mean, given the ability that the Patriots are, you know, so good at giving away the stopping the run, there is an avenue for success this week for DPJ. But it's a desperation play, I think. If you got, you know, if you have somebody else you can throw in there, do it. But if it's desperation, if you got to decide between him and I know, you know, we love him, but Greg Dortch, I mean, I think I'm going DPJ.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? The Deutschman. That's got to be the best nickname we've came up with.
Yep. Next game, we got the New York Jets at the Green Bay Packers. Ike, Michael Carter fought back last week after we saw Breece Hall kind of demanding all the touches in the backfield the few weeks before and still kind of last week. But he found the end zone. I'm curious, is Hall's ceiling capped with Michael Carter still getting some of the red zone work and some of
no
the
cap. Right there? No cap.
I think it is a little bit because they still want to get Michael Carter involved, obviously. He's still got 10% target share. I think that was last
week. Spit it out.
But they still want to use him, obviously, because Breece Hall is not going to be able to handle 20 carries and 8 to 10 targets, obviously. So
I don't think he's lasting the whole season with that.
What I would like to see is Breece Hall in the goal line because he's big enough to do that instead of Michael Carter. But hey, I'm not the coach. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? You play in a Madden league. You're a coach.
But either way, you're starting Breece Hall because he's shown that he can take it one deep. He took one almost like 90 yards, I think, for the catch. Wasn't it that
I like the way you worded it. He can take one deep.
And obviously he's doing fine on the ground.
Are you starting Michael Carter if you say missing Derrick Henry or Josh Jacobs this weekend?
Yeah. The bye weeks are kind of brutal. You're missing quite a few guys.
You're okay plugging Carter in and hoping
he'll be fine flex, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. And then this question is to both of you guys. If you had to start one wideout from the Jets, who would it be and why?
Go first, Ike.
Garrett Wilson, 19% target share, even though that's tied with
Zach Wilson at quarterback.
They're going to run a lot more, obviously. That's why I like Michael Carter and Breece Hall to start. And the only one you want to start for a wide receiver, I think, is Garrett Wilson. He gets the red zone targets more than any of the other ones, and he's still getting most of the targets throughout like the game.
I really do think that Corey Davis is viable in deeper leagues, but it's really Garrett Wilson you want out of the Jets wide receiving core. I hit it right on the head. I think really right now the only one kind of viable with bye weeks is Corey Davis. You can't play Elijah Moore right now. It's not happening with him. Probably droppable, yeah, which does suck.
Yes.
But
Ike, what do you think? Is he droppable?
No, not yet. There's still some guys that need to be dropped that are just frustrating me. People still have Julio at like 50%.
Who would you rather roster?
Makes me so mad.
Oh no, that's not a good comparison. I was gonna say, who would you rather roster, Elijah Moore or Kadarius Toney? But one's healthy.
Yeah,
Kadarius Toney is useless right now. I'd probably rather have Wandale when they come back.
Yep. We could probably move on here to our next question if you want, Dylan.
Mike, with the Packers, man, we've kind of been seeing Aaron Jones take over the backfield production-wise. I know they're still splitting snaps, and A.J. Dillon kind of did get game-scripted out of the game a little bit last week. I think he only played 30-something percent of the snaps, which isn't ideal. But he's been a disappointment all in all this season. Is he finding his way to your bench this weekend?
That's a tough question here because you got our first rounds of byes. It's not like anybody was playing DeAndre Swift, but you had Jamal Williams owners out there. You had Derrick Henry owners out there. Josh Jacobs was a big Damian surprise. Pierce. Damian Pierce is a bigger surprise. But so if you're hit with one of those byes, you can start him. Like I know a buddy of ours in our league, you know, he got hit with the James Conner injury. All right. And he has no shut it. But he has to play A.J. Dillon, which, I mean, it's either that or you're going to get Rex Burkhead off the waiver wire right now.
Rex Burkhead has a bye, man. Bad comparison.
It's fair enough, but he was the first one I could think of off the waiver wire right now.
Or you trade for a running back on a start that's starting.
Yeah, not everybody has the availability to do that, Ike. And this isn't a personal, vendetta for you.
He is my vendetta now.
So, but here's the thing: if you're hit with those byes, hit with an injury, AJ Dillon, you could plug into the lineup here because you're playing a more, I think, game script friendly game with the Jets. Because I really can't see the Jets going up on the Packers. I know the Giants took all game to go up on the Packers.
Jets are for real, man. Have you not seen the baby-faced assassin?
Their offense is definitely making an improvement, but their defense is still eh. Like, it's Ahmad Gardner. Like, Sauce, I love him. He's great. But, I mean, yeah.
He brings the sauce, man.
Packers to one side of the field.
Running away, man. Crazy.
All they do is lock down one side. Who they got on the other side for Green Bay?
But, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, because, like I said, if you got other options, Dobbins, Daryl Henderson, Eno Benjamin, Devin Singletary, you're playing them.
I didn't mention Daryl Henderson, huh?
It's another one of those options.
He loves it, man.
In love within 4 hours. He's like, God damn, this guy's the best.
Do you not realize that Jeff Wilson ran all over the Carolina Panthers last week?
I don't care what Jeff Wilson did. That was last week.
I also think Jeff Wilson's better than Daryl Henderson. I think you can agree to that.
Oh, is that why Daryl Henderson was the backup and didn't really get, the full workload until the injury? Now, Cam Akers,
Cam Akers blew out his Achilles when healthy.
But even when he came back healthy, Daryl Henderson was still more involved than.
Let's say you come back from a blown out Achilles if you can run normal after.
I probably ain't coming back from anything.
Like, it's as simple as this. We've never seen Daryl Henderson be good before.
That's a lie. We have seen him be good.
We've seen him be okay.
Multiple times.
We've seen Daryl Wilson be viable.
Has he rushed
years.
For 100 yards before?
Oh my gosh. You're really going to make me look up his fucking career stats right now?
We're not even to that game yet. Mike, no, don't look at that. Are we?
I am, yeah, but I'm going to – we can move on to our next question while I'm looking it up, though.
What's the damn point? We might as well just wait for you to look it up.
The point is to prove Mike's ass wrong, like always. Duh.
I don't think you can sit here and say that Daryl Henderson has shown you that he's a good running back, especially behind a terrible offensive line, which the Rams have.
Week 3 of the 2020 season against Buffalo, okay. He had 114 rushing yards.
I thought you were going to say 2022. I was going to say, fuck.
Nah, the most he's had this year is 47.
What's his career yards per carry?
3.8.
Give me a second here. That is 4.3.
Oh, okay. Better than I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll go. All right,
we can move on. Wilson.
Yes.
KFA.
Well, I told you to ask the next question here.
Are you starting Alan Lazard and Romeo Doubs this week?
Oh, I didn't. I read that question wrong when I answered it because I thought you said either or. I do think you can start both of them here, but the one I feel a little bit more safe in is Doubs. All the stats point to him. He's got the highest target share for the whole team, even more than Aaron Jones, like we expected him to be the number one guy here. He's got the most red zone targets with 6. Granted, it's only one more over Alan Lazard, but he is also getting the A dot here. Doubs is getting all the deep targets. Now, he's dropped a few, but it shows that Aaron Rodgers at least trusts him more than Christian Watson because he's at least throwing him more than just the one in week one. So
that guy after that. I'm done.
Doubs dropped a touchdown, and it was going to be the game-winning touchdown, and I can guarantee you he's still going to get deep throws from Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Lazard's more of the underneath guy. Doubs is going to get the deep target. They're about even. I mean, let's be honest, the target share is not that far off. I just use it as an example here. The red zones, like I said, targets aren't that far off, but it's the trust. You can see it on the field. He trusts Doubs, it almost feels like, more than Lazard, and he trusts him with those deep passes more than Lazard. So that's where fantasy value comes in with that ceiling. Both of them are great floors, but I think Doubs has that better ceiling.
Yeah, and I actually got an update on Twitter before we
Jeff started. Wilson Jr.'s average yards per carry is the same at 4.3.
Okay.
I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, you just had to interrupt what I was saying, but no, yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. So we can move on to the next game, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. I don't even know what to do with this backfield at this point. We've seen James Robinson blow up, look like he had RoboCop's Achilles the first couple weeks,
$1 million man.
Yeah. But then the last few weeks, we've seen him be an absolute dud, and Travis Etienne actually out-touch and out-snap James Robinson the last few weeks and look better, if I may say so myself. What's the deal here now?
You basically said what I was going to say is that ETN looks better now. I mean, Robinson obviously is still going to get his, but we're starting to get to the area where ETN is getting to flex territory, man. Starting to think about it. I'm sure you're thrilled about it because you've been riding ETN this whole year. I was actually going to pass it to you for this question because I know you know all about ETN. You've been hot on his stats all year.
Yeah, man, I like him a little bit more. You still want to see more, but every time he touches it, you feel like something explosive could happen. Like, I think the last
second couch,
it's like 7 yards per touch or something. And that's silly, man. That's so good. But I hope it continues, but same. We'll see. It's, maybe James Robinson goes back to busting a 60-yard run for a touchdown or something, because that was two big shticks the first couple weeks were those big plays,
Take away those yards, man. It's not very good.
It's probably a product of the game script, too. Like, I was yelling towards you the last few weeks. Like, the Jaguars are finally starting to lose, and ETN's getting more touches like we thought was kind of going to happen, because that was going to make more sense, it's something to monitor. I think – with bye weeks, you can actually start both these guys if you need to.
Sure.
What do you think?
I think ETN is going to be the guy who takes over. I like James Robinson, how he came out of the gate, but I do think it's going to be ETN down the stretch. Just like you said, he's got 4.9 per carry. James Robinson's 4.1. Both is great, But really, you know, the thing that separates the two is James Robinson scoring. He's got 4 touchdowns on the air to ETN's big fat 0.
We got to remember, this is still technically his rookie year.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to have some positive touchdown regression here. I remember hearing Doug Pederson saying that he got asked, why isn't he involved in ETN more? And he goes, you know, that's a good question. I probably should.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a grease the squeaky wheel type of situation where I do see him getting more involved in the weeks coming.
That's a great answer, Doug. Not, I don't care about fantasy football. I'm trying to win games after you lose, like Arthur Smith, dumbass. But Mike, let's jump over to the Colts. Their offense has been abysmal the last few weeks, pretty much all season. Matt Ryan looks like a ghostie out there. And Michael Pittman has kind of taken a hit so far. Outside the first week, he's really just been mediocre. He hasn't killed you. He's just been fine. Are you, with how bad the Colts offense has looked, are you kind of looking to maybe sell on Pittman while he still has a decent amount of value, or are you keeping him on your roster and just starting him as your wide receiver 2 weekly?
Oh, you're starting him. You're not trading Michael Pittman this early. I know the offense hasn't looked great, but here's the thing. We've seen his ceiling in week 1 when he went off, and it's any given week here because it's him and what looks like Alec Pierce moving forward.
I really like Alec Pierce.
He wasn't bad either.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first week that Michael Pittman actually has been out targeted, and it was by Alec Pierce, and it was only by 1, and it was, I think, in my opinion, due to the fact that, Patrick Surtain was shadowing the whole time. And that's a good matchup for Surtain because Pittman's not very fast, so Surtain can just stay on top of him. He's very physical.
Surtain is decently tall, too.
Exactly. So that was a great matchup for Surtain, and, I mean, he's not going to be matching up with him every week. He's got, like, the first week they played Houston, and he went off. Yeah, they're going to play Houston one more time this year, and he's going to go off. So he's seen 8-plus targets in 3 of the last 4 games. Like I said, only 1 week he's been out targeted by anybody. So I'm not selling on Michael Pittman. I'm still starting him. You know, you're tempering expectations against those good matchups, against those cornerbacks.
Who would you rather have rest of the season, DK Metcalf or Michael Pittman?
Ooh.
DK Metcalf, the way Geno Smith is playing, and we'll get to that sooner rather than later.
Let me hit you with one more. Michael Pittman or Chris Godwin rest of the season?
Oh, Michael Pittman.
Godwin.
Okay, I lied. One more. Michael Pittman or Tyler Lockett rest of the season?
Pittman.
That one I'm going Pittman.
I'm with you there. Okay, one more. Michael Pittman or Mike Williams rest of the season?
You got to stop lying on the stand.
Pittman. We're going Pittman there, too.
What was it? Pittman and who?
Williams.
Mike Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You fucking suck. You targeted
That's me. Almost a wash.
Man, because Keenan Allen with the injury.
I'm just trying to gauge things.
I think I go Mike Williams.
And I'm kind of going back to what their ADP was. When we go back to draft, like DK, you could get as like your 20-something ranked wide receiver off the board, man, in draft season, and that looks like a steal right now.
And Godwin later, and right now he's getting targeted like crazy.
Exactly. But let's go ahead and jump into our next game, the Minnesota Vikings at the Miami Dolphins. Like, you know, we've kind of been seeing Alexander Mattison vulture some stuff.
Oh, have we not?
Getting a little bit more in the passing game, more than Delvin Cook, actually. Does Madison have standalone value?
He only has a few percent higher target share than Delvin Cook, so it's not anything crazy. He's not getting any carries that are significant, except for that few touchdown, or was it one touchdown run last 2 weeks ago or something? I don't even know. Basically, what I'm saying is you don't need to start him. He is not worth starting, that's for sure. You can basically – it's worth having on your roster, that's for sure, because Cook goes down. We know what he can do. But, yeah, leave him on your bench.
It's not a flex play just yet, like Kareem Hunt or Melvin Gordon was with Javonte Williams. It's not that yet.
You may need him when the bye weeks get worse, because I'm pretty sure this is not the worst one that's going to happen, right?
Oh, no, there's I remember there's a 16 bye week later.
Yeah, that's like, when you probably 7, will need 8 or 9. Unless he's getting on bye during that.
Yes.
I believe it's 8, 9, or 10 is that 16, but that's going to be hell. It's going to be reminiscent of Bye-Mageddon last year.
It's going to be fun.
Don't say that to me, man. That's
it is though.
And then Adam Thielen. I was gonna ask you if he's gonna bounce back this week. I'm just gonna ask you this: is he gonna score a touchdown this week? That's what really
matters. That's the better question.
And yeah, and that's
that's what the bounce makes back for him.
Fantasy day every week when he's good.
Yeah, predict a touchdown, Ike. Yeah.
This is my shtick. Usually,
you can't predict a touchdown, but it's Adam Thielen, man. Usually, he's touchdown king, but Justin Jefferson dominates these targets, man. Everybody knows this. Thielen.
Can I give you a little hint? He's number 8 in red zone targets out of.
Why am I not surprised by that? How many touchdowns does he have, though?
3.
Uno.
Exactly.
That's in the red zone. That's in the red zone. One in the red zone. Man, you're gonna have to. I can't find him right now.
He's hard to trust, in my opinion, man. I don't know if you can start him. Maybe as a flex.
Yeah, he's only got one on the year. Yeah, just one.
Mike jumping over the Dolphins now. We've seen Mostert kind of be the guy in the backfield now. Is he a must start?
I hate when you ask me a question of a must start. No, he's not a must start. But he is a viable start.
This is what I should have said. Since it's a little fresh, we just talked about A.J. Dillon. Would you start Raheem Mostert or A.J. Dillon?
Ooh, that's a good question. In this case, I would go with Mostert because you're getting a guy who is, you know, he's not, you know, per se the player, but he's getting the Aaron Jones workload here.
Is he healthy?
He is going to be playing. I saw that he was making limited practices, which is trending towards up. You just don't want to be no practicing beforehand, but it is looking, he is questionable, obviously, but he is trending towards playing. Which means I do want to start him because he's a viable start with buys. He's a 59% snap share to, you know, Edmonds 39. Edmonds has one more target, whoop-de-doo.
Miles Gaskin out-snapped Chase Edmonds last week, didn't he?
Chase Edmonds dropped a ball that I guess was very important, and they were like, you're done.
That was very important.
This goes into my next question, Mike. Is Chase Edmonds droppable?
Yeah. Oh, man. No, he's not droppable here because we still got an offense that's good enough to get us some fantasy value for the starting running back, and that's why Mostert is a viable start over A.J. Dillon this week. Because he's kind of the handcuff in this offense, and as stupid as it sounds, they design plays for Edmonds. It's just you can't consistently rely on these plays in the red zone with him. But he's worth a roster spot. It's only
he's on the bubble. Not gonna lie,
it's a desperation play. If he
doesn't perform, he's done.
Yeah, it's like I'm at the point where I mean, hell, give me Tyler Allgeier over Edmonds. Give me
the backup to Allgeier. Give me Huntley. Probably.
Yeah,
you know what?
Yep.
But to be honest, I was the first one. I was looking at Darrell Henderson. I'm like, man, I don't know if I should stop or drop Chase Edmonds.
You were not the first one. Trust me. I was looking at him. It's just I wasn't sure if I wanted to drop Dalton Schultz.
I know, man. You know what? Fuck it.
I'm like, you know what? I got David Njoku. Whatever.
Ike thought about picking Darrell Henderson up, and then he realized he's just not any good.
Yeah.
Oh.
I realized Kieran Williams is probably going to take his spot, so.
I am good. Well, we do got a question here for Carlo. What's up, man? At the flex spot, look at how far we've come. Jonathan Taylor or Chris Godwin?
Don't say it so positively.
That's got to be Jonathan Taylor, right?
Assume it's PPR. I do want to go Jonathan Taylor here because Jonathan Taylor, if I remember correctly, owns the Jags in his career.
Except when they need to win a game to get in the playoffs.
Agreed.
Actually, well, yeah, he didn't even do that well this year, but I do remember him going off last year against them. It was week 10 last year. He had 21 carries for 116 yards, a touchdown. He had 8 targets, caught 6 of them. So
what happens when Carson Wentz is your quarterback?
It's Jonathan Taylor, guys.
It's Jonathan Taylor.
I'd like to say Godwin, but no.
That's a great problem to have, though, Carlo.
Moving on.
I'd hate that.
I love that. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
What happens from this, Dylan?
I tried four times and you guys interrupted me.
Maybe you got to move on in a more, you know, exuberant fashion.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
We are moving on.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Like,
who are they taking on?
I'm done.
So, no, I'm good.
You're just going to quit on us right here, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I can't handle it anymore.
Three guys.
The Cincinnati Bengals at the New Orleans Saints, guys. Ike, if Higgins is a go, are you starting him even though he gave you a good old fashioned goose egg last week?
Wait, it just ruined my answer. No. Clearly, his ankle is messed up. Why would you trust a dude who literally is playing on what he played on last week and got a zero? Why? He's probably going to be a decoy again.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately, I did take him out for somebody in one of my sleeper leagues.
I kind of just wish they would sit him, get that ankle healthy, and then have him come back 100% next week.
It's not like they necessarily are missing a bunch of receivers. They have Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd, and Hayden Hurst is fine, and they can use Joe Mixon.
Problem is they're 2-3, and they kind of need a W here.
T. Higgins or Jerry Jeudy?
I don't like Jerry Jeudy at all. I don't even like the Broncos, so I would...
I think I'm still taking Higgins, man. I think I'm starting him if he's a go too, to be honest. I think I just...
I honestly have to see who I switched him out for. So that
I was going
to
say, where do you have him ranked at? And while you're looking at that, I'll just ask Mike a plant here while you're looking at that.
I took him out for Marvin Jones.
Oh God!
I'm not doing that if he plays your
dude. He's only projected 9 points.
I don't care what he's projected.
DJ Moore. He's
gonna, I'm going DJ Moore. I'm sticking with it. T. Higgins is useless with a bum ankle. I'm going Marvin Jones over him too. Whoever you said first time, I'm going him over him as well.
Do you think
Jerry Jeudy?
Yep, sure. Why not?
Do you think we will see Hayden Hurst return top 10 tight end value again this week, with or without Higgins?
That's an easy question. Come on, Ike. You got it. Slam that answer.
Yeah.
Gave you the layup, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Looked really good, actually, last week.
This is if T. Higgins is out.
Dude, even if he's in. Even if he's in.
You think so?
Okay. He was in last week, and look what Hayden Hurst did.
Yeah, but he was a decoy. I mean, come on.
Which he will be this week. His ankle is taped up 50 times, probably. Dude could barely cut in the first place. What makes you think he's going to cut now with a bum ankle?
Hopefully they just sit him out so he can rest.
That's what I'm saying.
And make it easier for fantasy managers, that's for sure.
It would. But we do have a question here from our good friend Keith. He wants to know, Kenneth Walker or J.K. Dobbins this week?
Kenneth.
Yeah, I think it's...
He's going to get a lot of the rushing attempts.
The thing is Arizona's defense is actually pretty decent against the run. I remember talking about this in our matchup that we're going to get to a little bit later. But I think your safer play is Kenneth Walker here. He's going to get more of the volume. Dobbins only saw 8 rushing attempts last week, which is not very promising after seeing the 17 the week before.
Super weird.
Giants rush defense is actually somewhat solid, guys. Believe it or not. I mean, like we stated, where is it here? They are, oh no, that was their pass defense. They are actually allowing the 23rd worst points to running backs right now. So I think I'm going Kenneth Walker in that situation. I actually, Keith, to be honest with you, I said Dobbins for Daryl Henderson this week. So I agree with you. Kenneth Walker.
I have Kenneth Walker actually like top 15, top 16.
American. Yeah, it's kind of awkward for me as well. And we got one more. Should I trade Cup for CeeDee Lamb, Damian Pierce, Mike Williams, but wide receiver 2 is Curtis Samuel and Chris Olave? Isaac, I am not trading Cooper Cup.
Hell, that's crazy, though. But no, you can't trade Cooper Cup. He's going to get as many points as those three combined.
You're not doing it.
Or at least close.
But you guys are not taking into effect his wide receiver 2 is Curtis Samuel.
Who is like wide receiver 24 on the year, which is fine. And Chris Olave is just as fine. You're playing him in your flex. What's so bad about that?
I mean, you're getting a stud running back and Damian Pierce against CeeDee Lamb and
Mike Williams. We're calling him a stud now?
I mean, he does have a touchdown in 3 straight games. Can you name another running back with a touchdown in 3 straight games? Can you name another touchdown in 3 straight games? Jonathan Taylor had one
in like 10 games last
year. I'm talking this year, you moron.
I don't care. He plays on the Texans. He is not a stud.
All right. Oh, just 3 straight touchdowns and
I'm pretty sure 3 straight touchdowns declares you a stud, apparently. So that means Gabe Davis is God with 4 touchdowns?
That's a big
in the game
right there. Being a 6-man league, I mean, your wide receivers are not good in a 6-man league. I would probably do that trade. I would do that trade personally for depth. Just because it's a 6-man league and those wide receivers, man, you are not going to win with those. Cup will help you get to the playoffs, but he's not going to win you a championship with Curtis Samuel as your wide receiver 2.
Moving on to the New Orleans Saints, Mike. Are we feeling more confident in Alvin Kamara now that he finally had a big game?
It's nice to see him finally break out for 23.4 fantasy points, giving us a little bit more confidence. So, yes, it is good here. We're facing a Cincinnati Bengals run defense, which is, you know, actually been pretty good against the running backs. But, I mean, they've really haven't played that great of running backs. I mean, they played Zeke. They've played J.K. Dobbins. They haven't played, you know, a really good running back like Kamara till now. So I do think it's going to be another good week for Kamara. And then, moving on to your next question here, of course, you're going to have to ask me, are we starting Taysom Hill?
I didn't ask you. You're asking yourself.
No, you asked me on the show notes here. I'm just beating you to it. If you don't have one of the top 10 tight ends, which, I mean, if you're in a 10-team league, hopefully you do. If you're not, and you're in a deeper league, yeah, I guess you can play Taysom Hill, but you're more likely to get a dud this week than, you know, have what happened last week. Because, you know, you do have Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry ruled out here, but Taysom Hill is not consistent.
Agreed. I have a hard time.
He shouldn't be allowed as a tight end.
He shouldn't. No, he shouldn't.
He played 6 snaps there.
His eligibility should be more of a running back at this moment. I mean,
bullshit.
The way he's been used, I mean, he's thrown one pass. If he can be
allowed as a tight end, I want Debo allowed as a running back.
Yeah, that would be a nice running back having him. But, it's the fact that he is a tight end in a running back's body.
Who plays quarterback?
He plays quarterback. I like that. That should be his motto. I'm a tight end in a running back's body, and I play quarterback.
But I don't throw the ball. I run it. So it's weird.
Jumping over to the next game here.
Brody, to answer your question, no, that's illegal to have a 3-way marriage. Go ahead, Dylan. Jump into our next question.
You lost him.
Well, yep. You got to jump into our next game before our next question, which is the Baltimore Ravens at the New York Giants.
Ike, let's talk pass catchers here. We've already kind of touched on Devin Duvernay, but go ahead and touch on him again here if you want to.
Reword that, please.
It's the only guy other than Mark Andrews worth starting as a pass catcher, to be honest. He's at least getting a 17.1 target share in the past 3 games. 2 of those Bateman's been out. So I guess you can start him in the flex. I'm not totally thrilled about it. Deeper leagues, I definitely would. But if you're in a 10-team league, I'm sure you have better options than Devin Duvernay.
Yep.
Like LaPlante always says, you want that 20% target share, which is bullshit for Brandon Ayuk, by the way. So in this type of offense that runs a lot and only 17% target share, you don't want Duvernay then.
Yeah, you really got it. Like, target share is a skewed stat. I mean,
it is, man. It's weird.
If you get a team like the Bears who don't throw the ball a lot and you get Darnell Mooney – who's getting a 40% target share. Yeah, it looks good, but I mean, not when you see it on the field.
They throw 20 times.
All right, there, Dylan.
Go ahead.
Go on. I was just going to say, moving along, please. Keep her moving.
Pretty much, man. What do you want to talk about with the Giants here? I'll let you take the reins.
All right, I don't want to spend much time on the Giants here because we know, you know, really the only lineup lock or the plant lock is this Saquon Barkley. But keep an eye on Darius Slayton. I think he's worth a roster spot. I mean, Tony and Galladay have already been ruled out for this week, and it won't surprise me if that's future weeks as well. Slayton saw 7 targets last week against the Packers, 1 more than Barkley, which usually you see Barkley leading the pack on that one. So he's really the only one I want other than Barkley, but I don't know if I'm starting him just yet. I think he's worth a roster spot just because of the chemistry that he has displayed in the past with Daniel Jones.
They need Odell.
They need anybody that can catch a damn ball.
Or they should trade for DJ Moore. That'd probably be a good idea since you're 4-1.
You want to talk about how Justin Fields looks like shit with all his weapons. How does Daniel Jones feel, man?
They run him.
He's tossing the ball.
Use him correctly.
David Stills.
They use him correctly, man.
Do anything with him.
Exactly. They are using him correctly. But how do you think he feels about his weapons?
I'd be pissed.
I'd be like,
Tony, why aren't you healthy yet? What have you been doing?
You don't pick up my fifth-year option, and you surround me with these
fucking
idiots. How do you pull
both hamstrings? How does that happen?
Both hamstrings. What's going on? You're getting $80 million to sit in a hot tub.
He's an old man now. He's got an 80-year-old hip.
Next game we got here, Tampa Bay Bucs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ike, are we back all in on this Tampa Bay offense after it was a struggle to begin the year?
I most certainly am. Tom Brady, let me just go on.
Is this
a
biased answer because you have a Tom Brady share?
Yes. If Michael Plant will get off my thing so I can see what I wrote down, get your name off this stupid thing. He has three straight games of 30-plus completions, 2 straight games of 50-plus attempts, so obviously he just likes throwing the ball. Along with 350 plus yards too. The touchdowns will come, even though he's throwing, I think it was 5 the past 3 games, which is fine. It's no Mahomes or Allen numbers, but you're starting him, you're starting Fournette, you're starting Godwin, Evans, and if you're low on tight ends, you can even start Kate Otten.
Yeah, agreed. The offense is finally clicking, man. It looks good.
And Tom's on his revenge divorce tour, so.
You know, just a quick little tidbit. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers allow the most wide receiver fantasy points, too. So.
That's sweet.
That is sweet. It's hot. It's real
Mike,
hot.
That is hot.
With what we saw from Kenny Pickett this last game and a half, is there anyone from the Steelers offense you want to play?
Confidently, probably Deontay Johnson's the only one. These next matchups for Najee Harris are not great. He's got the Tampa Bay Bucs. I know he has the Saints in there.
He's back, man, though. He took out that lead thing in his foot.
But I'm going to be straight up honest. I mean, I'm sitting Najee Harris this week against this offense for Jeff Wilson in a different league.
I'm sitting Najee this week.
If you got other viable options, I'm not sitting him for Eno Benjamin. If you got viable options, you can sit Najee Harris. But if you don't have viable options, you kind of, you know, strong-armed playing him. It's not great, but really, I want Deontay Johnson as my only safety. I mean, I'm kind of watching George Pickens, you know, with the Kenny Pickett connection, but, you know, I'm not like,
He's basically droppable. Well, he did get some targets last week, but
It's the matchup, man. The Buffalo Bills don't allow a whole lot to anybody, any position, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
I just don't think Claypool is the guy. I think Pickens is going to pass him up. Maybe
it's probably going to be true. But, yeah, it's Deontay Johnson, and keep an eye on Pickens. You can start Najee Harris, you know, if you have no other choice. Otherwise, a viable option like a Jeff Wilson type, maybe. I mean, honestly, I think I'm starting Devin Singletary even over Najee Harris this week. I want that. I want as much of that game as I can get with the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs. Sure. Give me Singletary over Najee Harris. Like, if you have another viable option, sit Najee this week.
Yeah, agreed. I think I would actually go Singletary as well. I think I'm with you on that. Jumping over to the next game, Carolina Panthers at the Los Angeles Rams. Ike, we don't even need to talk about the Panthers offense, man, so I'm just skipping over your question.
You can max the only guy you want.
Or bust, yep. So, Mike, I'm just going to go right to you and go to the Rams. If you want to talk about Daryl Henderson.
You can gloat all you want how he's God all of a sudden.
Can anyone besides Cooper
Kupp? I wouldn't say he's God.
Can anyone besides Cooper Kupp in this offense get going this week?
Yeah, it's going to be Daryl Henderson. I mean, because the Cam Akers dude is being ruled out. I mean, duh, but Tyler Higbee's already been doing well. I mean, for tight ends, you know, being tight ends, he's doing well. But, I mean, if you compare that to everybody else, Tyler Higbee still sucks. Because tight ends suck. But, I mean, if you want a true breakout, Daryl Henderson this week. He's going to get majority of the workload. He's playing a good matchup. Carolina can't stop the run, guys.
Didn't he get majority of the workload in, like, week one and he only dropped 11 points?
Carolina allows the seventh most running back fantasy points. I mean, Jeff Wilson went off on him, and he's a backup last week. So, I mean, there's
Jeff Wilson a backup.
We already went over this. They have the same career. We have. I know. This is why I'm saying if Jeff Wilson, a backup who averages the same career yards per carry, can do that, I think Daryl Henderson can break out this week. He asked me the question of who could break out. We've already seen Tyler Higbee break out in this offense. It's going to be Daryl Henderson.
Karen Williams.
You can watch out for him on my bench.
Next game we got here, the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Ike, is this the Kyler Murray blow-up week that we've been waiting for?
I've been saying it for a while now that he's going to get in a shootout, but this one actually might be a shootout with the Seahawks. Geno Smith, and one of these times I'm going to be right. And this one seems like it is Kyler Murray. Although it is worth mentioning that Call of Duty is coming out soon. So that is, if he does have a bad week, definitely think about like, should I be playing Kyler Murray when Call of Duty comes out? Probably not.
No, you're playing Kyler Murray. The quarterback landscape sucks.
He should
right
be
now,
started,
dude.
Yeah. He should have a good week. Plus, it gets DeAndre Hopkins back in a week or so. So. Mm-hmm. It only helps his value, I would assume.
Yeah, I think this is the start of a run where the Cardinals offense actually starts to look competent.
I also like Eno.
Yeah, I like Eno a lot this week as well. The matchup's real juicy against Seattle, and we've seen Eno be able to produce a little bit. Jumping over to the Seahawks, Mike. Just go ahead and talk about how good Geno Smith's been and talk about how he needs to be started in this matchup. Because
that's what I was just going to say. The quarterback landscape is hell right now, guys. I mean, let me get drop some hot stats on you. 3 out of our 5 weeks so far, Geno Smith's been a top 10 quarterback. Yeah, drop. All right. 2 out of those 5 weeks, he's been a top 5 quarterback. Jaw drop a little bit more. He has the weapons. And he has the unique combination of a shitty defense to where he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. I really do think he has top 10 rest of season potential here. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is, you know, Matthew Stafford or Geno Smith, give me Geno.
100%.
What do you think about the report where Pete Carroll said Drew Lock's nipping at his heels, though? Which didn't make any sense to me because
Geno Smith is playing out of his mind. I mean, you give me Kirk Cousins, Geno, give me Geno. I'm even going to go out on a limb here. This week, because of the matchup, I take Geno over fucking Joe Burrow. Geno's looking good. I don't understand it, but man, we have all, you know, kind of doubted him, and he should. I mean, if he keeps this up, win comeback player of the year, even though he wasn't even injured. Ken Walker here. This is the guy I kind of really want to talk about. Kenneth Walker. I'm going to just abbreviate it because I'm lazy. he's going to get the major workload like you've already touched on, Ike, before. The Cardinals are 22nd in allowing points against the running backs. So that is something that was a little surprising. They're a little bit more susceptible against the pass than they are against the run. Probably J.J. Watt's doing whatnot. So I am tempering my expectations, but I do like Kenneth Walker's potential this week. In like what Ike says, could be a potential high-scoring game here. I mean, we got two defenses that can't stop, you know, they can't stop a flood. You know, it's just they can't do anything. They can't stop a witty metaphor. I don't know, man. It's just.
We didn't talk about. I just want to say this for Eno Benjamin. He has seen four targets in four of the five games. So now that he is
the main back, Darrell Williams has been out, and you can see
four to eight targets for him now because Kyler seems to like throwing to the running back. So he's definitely worth an RB2 and really good flex spot. I just wanted to say that because we didn't. Do that.
Yeah, the Cardinals are one of the teams that actually gives, you know, majority of a workload to their one guy. They showed it with James Conner. I mean, if Eno Benjamin can handle it, he's going to get the workload.
I've liked him since he was drafted. No idea why.
Who would you? Now
it's time to shine.
Who would you rather have, Eno or Kenneth Walker?
Ken. Easy.
I kind of do like Eno.
Not easy,
just because of the matchup. Because Seattle's not good against anything.
I also like seeing the four targets. That's pretty nice, yeah, even with Connor in the game.
Yep. Next game we got here, guys, is the game of the week. Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. Been waiting for this one.
It should be prime time, man.
Ike, who's your favorite play in this offense this week?
I hate to say it, but it's probably I'm assuming – we're talking about the Bills, right?
Sure. Take it wherever you want. Besides Diggs.
I was going to say Gabe Davis over Diggs, actually. Okay, for some reason, I just think Gabe Davis is – this seems like his week. They're going to want to target Diggs, get him out of the game. I can see Davis getting his 2-3 touchdowns like he did against the playoff game against them where he had four. I don't think he'll get four again, but two is definitely in the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, Chiefs are not great at stopping the wide receivers. Top, what is it? They are seventh worst at defending the receivers in fantasy. So, you know, seventh most scored against them. So it is definitely going to be a Gabe Dave and a Stephon Diggs game, honestly, in my opinion.
As for Chiefs, I would go Juju and even – Marquez Valdes-Scantling is worth.
That's where I'm a little scared here because Davius Buffalo White is 26th back, right? Against the wide receivers.
Tre'Davious White is back, right?
That I actually haven't gotten an update on.
I thought he was practicing. I could be wrong. But if we all think it's going to be a shootout, somebody's going to have to score other than Kelce or get targets other than Kelce. So
I don't know, man. Kelce got four touchdowns last week. I mean, that didn't work last week.
But he only had like eight targets, right?
Yeah, something like that. But you said somebody's got to score besides Kelce. That wasn't true last week. Wasn't true last week. He pulled an Al Bundy, four touchdowns, one game.
I saw that meme on Twitter where he brought it up like 15 times throughout the TV show.
Yes.
That was a good reference, actually.
That was a good reference. Four touchdowns. High school, man, four touchdowns.
James Polk High School.
Record.
But yeah, Mike, we were kind of talking about the Chiefs offense. I mean, everyone but Travis Kelce and Mahomes has kind of been a letdown. CEH has been surprisingly good as well. Are you starting any other wide receiver core or CEH this week?
Man, MVS finally had his week last week, but I still agree with Ike. If I'm starting anybody out of this receiving core, it's Juju. He's seeing majority of the targets. Patrick Mahomes seems to like him the most. I think, honestly, Mahomes targeted MVS last week because of Juju's struggles being able to catch the ball. I don't know what was going on. He must have been hanging out with Jackson Mahomes making some TikToks before the game. I don't know. But he wasn't focused, and he was dropping the ball left and right. So I think that was attributed to why MVS got majority of those targets. It's still Juju if you have to start somebody out of this wide receiving core. And, I mean, due to the bye weeks, the fact that CEH scores every goddamn week, I think it's worth a start. I mean, CEH and Chase Edmonds are essentially the same players right now. but one's on a way better offense who's scoring a touchdown every single week. So, like, CEH is worth a start if you're struggling at RB.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. Sunday Night Football, guys, Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike, I'm curious, where do you have Zeke and Pollard in your rankings heading into this week after what we've seen the last few weeks?
They're within two spots of each other. Zeke 27, Pollard 29.
So obviously you start Zeke over Pollard.
I'm not there yet because obviously this ranking thing is a little bit of a competition too, because you want to get like the best score, but it's possible that Pollard outscores Zeke again. Zeke looks super inefficient, like madly inefficient. He'll get 20 carries for like 80 yards, which is insane. Meanwhile, Pollard will get 9 yards for 70 to 80 yards. So clearly it's like a thunder and lightning type thing. Zeke will get the touchdown work and Pollard will get most of the receiving work and like get them down there maybe a little bit. So I think they're both starting. Both
red able zone carries to split right down the middle.
Are they really? It should be Zeke more, I think.
Zeke has five, Tony has four. Well, that's inside the 20. Inside the five, Zeke has two carries to one. Inside the 10, it's 3-2. So
it's basically close, but that just makes it more that they're both startable.
They really are. I mean, the thing is here that's making them startable is the fact that their defense is so good that their offense is always on the field.
Yes.
And then I'm curious what your take is on Gallup and what we've seen so far from him since he's returned into the lineup.
I don't think he's worth a start yet.
Yeah.
Once Dak comes back, probably.
Bingo.
We might.
But see right now, it's he's not seeing enough targets. Nobody really is. And if they are seeing targets, mainly CeeDee Lamb. Like, they threw, 15 times last week? I don't even know if it was that much, and CeeDee Lamb dominated the target share for the most part.
Yeah, they didn't need to.
Yep. Jumping over to the Eagles side of it, Mike, are you worried about the Eagles' offense against this Cowboys defense that's looked really good the last few weeks?
All right, before I answer your questions, Cowboys' defense is ninth right now in allowing the least amount of points, total fantasy points, to every position total. All right. So, really, the only position scoring on them right now is wide receivers at 33.88 points a game. Running backs are getting 18.1, which, it's middle of the pack, not great. QBs are getting 11.66, which is just, so, like, I'm tempering my expectations on Miles Sanders. I am actually tempering my expectations on Jalen Hurts here a little bit because his completion and QBR rating when pressured is abysmal. And that's what this Dallas defense does is they pressure. So I am kind of, knocking down Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders a little bit. But I do think that if anybody could have a good week, it's A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I like the upside for them with, those wide receiving points a game being scored. I mean, because let's be realistic, guys. We talk about this, Cowboys defense. But on the back end, it's Trayvon Diggs. I can't name another defender they have on the back end. So I can see why the wide receivers are scoring so many points.
Mm-hmm. Right. Next, last and final game, guys, we got here, Monday Night Football, Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Chargers. Ike, in this Broncos offense that's struggling, are you comfortable starting Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy this week?
Well, we did say Jerry Jeudy over who was it? I forgot.
You said Jerry Jeudy over T. Higgins. You did.
You did. Yeah, you did.
So it looks like I'm just gonna say that both Broncos wide receivers are startable. I mean, I have Courtland Sutton at like wide receiver 17 or 18, I believe. So he's getting the target share. That's fine. And Jeudy seems to be getting the deep plays. He just needs to score a few and get more targets. So yeah, I'd start them both.
The
one who I want to start this week though on the Chargers is Melvin Gordon if healthy though. Chargers still, yes.
Broncos, man, not the Chargers.
fuck, that's right. I meant, I want to start Austin Eckler against the Broncos big time, obviously, because he's gonna break out again, against this Denver defense because they struggle against the run.
agree.
No, I was right, you motherfucker. I was right. I know you're talking about the Chargers, but I still want to start Melvin Gordon this week against the Chargers because their run defense is still crap, man. It's not as bad as last year, but it's crap. Right.
You just completely said it wrong. First, you're talking about
Melvin Gordon. You said Melvin Gordon on the Chargers.
I did. So you got to correct me and say Melvin Gordon's on the Broncos then.
So basically,
I'm three beers deep. You got to help me out. You're supposed to set me up for layups, host, remember? Not block
start
shots.
Start the running backs from both teams. There we go.
I probably would have set you up a little better if I wasn't getting interrupted the whole show. But we can go ahead and move on to the Chargers now. Are you trusting Keenan Allen's hamstring if he plays?
That's a tough question, goddamn, man. Because last time he played after coming off a hamstring injury, he was a total decoy. And he told fantasy managers to play him. But the thing is he is trending towards playing. He is getting limited practice here. I said it in the podcast last night with Joe. I mean, the past 2 weeks, he hasn't practiced at all. So he's getting limited practices in now, which is the best news he could get. Because no practices again like last week. I mean, he was out indefinitely. Practices means he's at least going to get into the game. Now, do I trust him? No, I don't trust him. No, Patrick Surtain's going to line up against him if he is out there. So I'm probably sitting Keenan Allen this week.
Yeah, I don't blame him there. It'd be nice to see him have one good game of showing you he could do it and be healthy.
But still positive for him to play.
We should probably wait another week. Hamstrings are...
That's what they said. They said if he doesn't feel... If he feels any sort of issue, that they're going to hold him out, which is the right plan of attack.
Dude, he plays on Monday night too, so whoever has him, hopefully you got Palmer or somebody as a backup plan. Okay. Honestly, I would just take him out and not risk it.
I mean, we saw what Surtain did to Pittman last week. He only got 5 receptions for 59 yards. I mean, so if Keenan Allen's going to be out there hobbled, it's going to be worse.
Agreed.
Right. But yeah, guys, that wraps up another awesome episode of the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. Please smash the like button. Please subscribe if you haven't. Please follow our written work over at fantasysixpack.net. Ike writes the injury report. I write the start sit article. LaPlace does social
and drop list.
I write cool tweets. I write cool tweets.
Give the Fantasy Six Pack Twitter handle a follow at Fantasy Six Pack. Follow Mike LaPlante at @BeLike_Mike with 2 I's. Follow Mike Bonney at Ike2121. You can follow me at DClemens2222. Guys, if you have any more Start Sit questions, hit us up on Sunday. I think we'll all be there doing the Start Sit show, the Sunday social live stream.
Oh, Ike, do you got some F1 to watch?
I do, but it'll be over by the time.
So go ahead, check us out on Sunday, guys.
And check out Ike's F1 articles. He does know. Do you still do those? I know you were doing them.
No, it's over, man. Max is done. He's already won the championship. By, like,
is that why? You said, all right, Max is over. We don't even need to do any
he's
articles
dominating.
Anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if we don't talk to you guys on Sunday, good luck in your matchups, and we will talk to you next week.
Good luck in week 6.